We're in the period of Bein HaMetzarim, which really, it's unfortunate that we're not in yeshiva for this time. It's a very deep time. It's a time that that requires being in yeshiva, not on vacation. And we have to leave, unfortunately. But it's something that we can't not focus on at all. A lot of times people are quick to say, I can't relate to the destruction of the Beis HaMikdash. It's too far gone from me. It's too high. It's too lofty. And it's a terrible mistake. It's a terrible mistake. And we have to try to understand how we can connect with this. We know from the Yud Gimel Ikrim of the Rambam that a person is not only supposed to believe in Yemos Mashiach, but is supposed to be mechake. The Brisker Rav is medayik that a person has to have a level of anticipation for Bias HaMashiach. So we have to set our standards higher. We can't always just potter ourselves out of these things. And the truth is, the Sfas Emes writes in one place, he says that Avas Hashem and Yiras Hashem are very lofty goals. Right, you tell somebody to work on Avas Hashem and Yiras Hashem, loving Hashem and fearing Hashem, they're lofty goals. But he says we're making a mistake, which is, and it's Baruch Umanusa that the words of the Sfas Emes for anyone who's experienced this Derech Avoda, a neshama is packed with all the experiences that need to be in Avodas Hashem. Inside the DNA of the neshama is the ability to have a tremendous love for HaKadosh Baruch Hu, a tremendous pachad from the Ribbono Shel Olam, and a tremendous desire for dveikus. The Mesillas Yesharim writes that if the neshama was just left alone without the guf, it would be like an Evan Shoeves, like Barzel to Evan Shoeves, which is like a magnetic pull, which is almost like, not almost, because he says the word mamish. Whenever the Mesillas Yesharim says the word mamish, he means, I'm not just saying a mushel, I'm telling you the reality. The reality is that the neshama, if it wasn't tied down by the guf, would be like Barzel to a magnet. What does that mean? He says mamish. That means it would actually move on its own towards Hashem. Without any work, it would just fly and fly and fly in Dveikus HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Elamai, it's getting pushed down by the guf? Fine. But if you want to study the neshama that we have, our neshamas naturally run towards HaKadosh Baruch Hu without any avoda. Without any avoda. The whole avoda that we have is because we're stuck in a guf that's very difficult to be in. However, we're packed with all of the hergeshim that we need to experience. We're packed with all of them because the neshama was nechtach from the kisei hakavod. The neshama was taken from home. Home is all the way up in Shemayim from the Kisei HaKavod. And that's where it's from. And the Beis HaMikdash is home. Is home. And we have to find the frequency. If we can find the frequency in our own neshama to click with something that's inside of our neshama, it will naturally come out. Which is a whole new way of looking at things. A whole new way of looking at things. It's just trying to find inside of us the Beis HaMikdash. In fact, by our hearts, is the Mekubalim say, the Nefesh HaChaim says, it's connected to the Kodesh Kedashim, and that's why you should be mechabein liboy to the Beis HaMikdash, or to the Kodesh Kedashim, because the lev, says the Nefesh HaChaim, the heart and the Kodesh Kedashim are directly connected. Our hearts are a Kodesh Kedashim. We have a Kodesh Kedashim inside of us. There's a Beis HaMikdash with the Kodesh Kedashim, and somehow our hearts are broken also. When the Beis HaMikdash is broken, we have broken hearts. Do we know how? No. However, it's there. It's there. And if a person could experience pain, sometimes pain will bring a person tremendous joy. When? I'll give you an example. Consider Lo Aleinu, a four-year-old kid. Four-year-old girl, beautiful kid. Rachmana Litzlan gets hit by a car and is in a coma, right? In a coma. The family is sitting by her bed beside themselves for weeks on end. right? One of the daughters makes her mother a piping hot cup of coffee. She uses that to get through the days, coffee after coffee. And recklessly, she spills it on her four-year-old sister. And all of a sudden, her sister goes, "Ah!" Everybody starts crying from simcha. She can feel. She's back. She's back. Pain is a sign of vitality. Pain is a sign of being alive. And in this sugya, the goal is to find some form of pain, and it's almost a simcha gedayla to find this pain, because it's a sign that we're alive. I think that we confuse these things. You know, the last thing we would want is to feel a pain, but sometimes if a person could feel a pain, it means that they're alive. And it's very, very simple. I don't know why. You know, I have this book in my house, and I put up a sign for the shmooze with this picture on the board, and I saw it was a bad idea. My father's in marketing, so I tried to get creative, but the reactions were terrible. And I, in emergency, ran up to Rav Avram Geisler and said, "Turn off the sign." Now, I would like to explain why the sign was up. Because of all things that affect me, and there's a lot to look at. You can look at Eicha Rabba, you can look at Yirmiyah. This book has the most effect on me. This book. Just looking at it creates certain hergation. And I obviously didn't buy this book for myself. I bought this book for my children. And you just read the story. Now it's going to be a bestseller, right? Maybe. But it's the story about this boy. And he's going with his father to Kinos at the Kaisel. And he's quite cute. He's a cute little guy. And I was reading this to my children. And it's a boy, Naftali. He's learning about the Beis HaMikdash. And he's learning about the Levium. And then, you know, they show him Rachmat al-Itzlan, what the Romans did over here. And it's so simple. It's so simple. And that's really the pshat over here, is that we all have to find the little child within us. Hashem has a home. We're Yidden. We love Hashem. He takes care of us. His home was burnt down because he was disappointed with us, and he's looking forward to us coming back. And it's really that simple. It's actually, someone told me, I think Yitzi asked me, he said, if this week's shmooze, the topic was a simple connection to the Beis HaMikdash, so he said to me, next week, can we have the complex version? And the answer is no. No. Because the pshat is that we really are connected on a very simple level to the Beis HaMikdash. And if you look at the Chafetz Chaim in general, his whole Mahalach, I learned this from my Rebbe, Rav Moshe Shapiro Zatzal, the Chafetz, Moshe in a rare moment said, he basically held that the Musar movement was not successful. In his opinion, the Musar movement, what's left of it, is now just a Musar Shmooze, and maybe a Musar Seder, Bekoshi. But he felt that the Musar movement was not matzliach. It was a movement that involved a lot of changing people's hergation, getting people to really feel things properly. And he held it wasn't successful. But he did say a very interesting thing. He said that we look at the Chafetz Chaim. I don't know if you read these Mishalim that the Chafetz Chaim writes. He says, today people can't get through Mishalim of the Chafetz Chaim. They're way too boring. Once there was a king, and a this, and a that. And he said, we think that it's because we're so sophisticated. He says, it's a terrible mistake. He says, the Chafetz Chaim understood how to live on a plane of simplicity. We today run to big shtickel Torahs and exciting things to tease our minds, tantalize ourselves, because we don't know how to just think about something on a very down-to-earth, regular emotional level. He says the Chafetz Chaim wrote books and books We know the Mishnah Berurah, the Chafetz Chaim, and the people who learn Kachim. He wrote a sefer on Kachim too. But the Chafetz Chaim used so much of his time to write such basic mishalim, because he understood the value of being basic. And we can forget the basics. Rav Yerucham says an amazing thing in Das Chachmu Musar, Amud Reish Ches. He says that people on Tisha B'Av, Bekoshi, there are people who get Nisragesh from the Arzei Halavonon, which is the Asara Harugi Malchus, the great Tanayim who were died out by Kiddush Hashem. And Be'etzem, anyone who doesn't have a Lev Evan, unfortunately we all have a Lev Evan, but can feel the pain of hearing about Rabbi Akiva and Rabbi Ishmael and Ayin V'Naira. We do this two times a year. We do it on Tisha B'Av, and we do it during the Yom Kippur, during the Musaf of Yom Kippur. But he says that that's a cop-out to Tisha B'Av. He says that really Tisha B'Av is about missing Hashem, missing the Shechina. And he says that something that's so vital to our lives, we have the ability to ignore totally. He gives a mashal, an amazing mashal. He says there's nothing more vital to us than the sun. The sun is something that, first of all, if it was positioned in any which way, other way than it is, the world would not be able to have any type of kiyum. For many, many reasons. The sun is the most important thing that's going on in our lives. He says, but nobody thinks about the sun that way. It's so essential, and yet no one thinks about the importance of the sun. He says, how do you get someone to think about the importance of the sun? One way. He says, let them make a tiny patch of vegetables, like a little vegetable garden. It could be teeny, like, you know, one tomato patch, and they go out, they check, is the sun there? Is it, you know, what's happening? Is it shining properly on my vegetables, and how are they doing? He says, all you need is one little garden patch that's focusing you on the sun, and now the sun becomes a mandavar. Even though you need it to get up in the morning, you need it to maneuver your whole life. You need it for everything. But you have to find something that touches you, a little garden patch. And says Rav Yerucham, a person needs to find some little garden patch to connect himself with the Beis HaMikdash. Some personal connection. Even though we can have all these big discussions about how important the Beis HaMikdash is, a person needs something in their life that's a garden patch that's related to the fact that we don't have the Beis HaMikdash today. And it could be developed in so many ways. We have my dear friend Avigdor Gelman. Is he here? Avigdor? Avigdor in his Siyum on Tamid said something beautiful. Was that yesterday, the Siyum, or 2 days ago? 2 days ago. I went to his Siyum on Tamid. Aaron and Elchanan also finished. And he said something amazing. And it has a lot to do with my friend Naftali from this book. He said that on Shavasar B'Tamos, there's this Bittel HaTamid, being Mavatel the Tamid, right? This idea of being Mavatel the Tamid, terrible thing that took place. But when you learn Maseches Tamid, he said, he was making a Siyum Maseches Tamid, it makes an impression. There's a garden patch. There's something here. There's some connection. If a person sits and learns something, takes the time to develop a relationship with that, and then sees that there's a day that commemorates that it stopped, there's already a touch. Why? Not because of great, great things from the outside, great tricks. Because inside every person has a neshama that's shayach to the Beis HaMikdash. You just need a trigger. It could be a teeny garden patch, and it will work. It will be something that connects us to that. And in the Beis HaMikdash, there was a lot to see. There was a lot to see. Today, we don't really see much, right? We believe a lot. We believe a lot, but we don't get to see much. There's an expression that seeing is believing. It's not true. That's not true. We function based on believing, not seeing. I would say, according to us, hearing is believing. We base our beliefs on the Masorah, and we use our ears to believe. We don't use our sight to believe. Hearing is believing. However, when a person would go to the Beis HaMikdash, seeing was believing. You would go there, you would see 10 Nisim. You would see things that are totally inexplicable from a natural perspective. And you would leave having felt like you saw HaKadosh Baruch Hu in your life. Every one of us feels like we wish we could see something. You know, I've been privy to see people and experience things that have made me feel like, oh, I saw something. And even if I have an Eid Re'iyah, just an Eid Re'iyah, somebody who saw who I'm close with, I feel like I saw something. Rav Mun, Rav Chaim's Chavrusa, who we have a very close relationship with, told us a story from last week. Somebody came into Rav Chaim, right? And I spent many hours in Rav Chaim's house. And a lot of times I'm wondering what's going on in Rav Chaim's head. It's a very interesting place to be because people don't leave Rav Chaim alone, and he's clearly chazering Kol HaTorah Kula at the same time. It's really unbelievable what's going on there. And, you know, sometimes when you're somewhere, you might think for a second, oh, he's normal, because if I'm here, so, you know, when you stay somewhere for a long enough time, you start to think, like, I've got this down. And, you know, Rav Mun said that last week, somebody came in from the Letterman Shul that Rav Chaim's acquainted with very well. I think they're even, you know, have a close relationship. And he was sick. So he came into Rav Chaim for a bracha, for a refuah shleima. Fine. So Rav Mun was there. He brought this fellow to Rav Chaim. And Rav Chaim didn't say anything. So Rav Mun asked him again for a bracha for this fellow. Rav Chaim just didn't say anything. He asked him a third time. It was very awkward, but he didn't say anything. So this fellow left, and Rav Mun asked him. He said, Rebbe, why didn't you give him a bracha for refuah shleima? So he said, Shamayim prevented me from giving a bracha. That's what he said. 17 minutes later, this man was nifter. 17 minutes later. Now, what you take from such a story, there are a lot of different limudim, but when a person sees something with their own eyes, they feel like nischazik. Nischazik. Rav Chatzko Levenstein said that seeing things gives you chizuk. And the Beis HaMikdash was that clarity. You could point to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And it's true it's a structure, the Beis HaMikdash, but it's the desire to see. A lot of times we're the underdogs. Klal Yisrael's the underdogs, and we wish we could, like, just prove to everybody that we're right. And we're trying so hard, and we feel like we could use a little bit of a shot in the arm. That's the desire to see a Beis Hashem. The Beis Hashem being here, why do we say, V'sechazena einenu? We say our eyes should see. We said it, Semach, we said V'lishalayim Yircha, a Semach. We daven for the building of the Beis HaMikdash already. In V'lishalayim Yircha, a Semach. Why do we then say, V'sechazena einenu b'shuvcha l'tzion? Why do we daven to see it? And we do that in other places. We say, Ve'inenu sirena malchusecha, in Kedusha, on Shabbos. Ayin ba'ayin yiras Hashem. We want to see. What's this idea of seeing? This is really the idea of machzir shchinasoi letzion. Shchina is the relationship with Hashem. The word shchina is dwelling in our midst. The word shchina means to be shochein. What the word shchina means is that Hashem is in my life. And if Hashem's in my life, I want to see him. If he's here, and it's really that close of a relationship, I want to see Hashem. Now, obviously, Hashem does not have a physical body, but there's ways of seeing the Shechina in our lives. V'sechazena einenu b'shuvcha l'tzion b'rachamim. And we have a garden patch. We all have our frustrations. Beis HaMikdash takes care of these frustrations. The Beis HaMikdash gives us this clarity. I mean, imagine being there at the time when the Kohen Gadol comes out of the Kodesh Kedoshim, right? The suspense. Klal Yisrael on Yom Kippur, their eyes are glued towards the Kodesh and Kodesh Kedoshim. Is the Kohen Gadol going to come out? He comes out, and we have the famous Emes Ma'nedar. Ma'nedar haya Kohen Gadol b'tzeisu v'shalom min ha-Kodesh. How majestic did the Kohen Gadol look? This is a Yiddishkeit that we don't have. You know what this was? It was amazing. The joy on everyone's face to see someone who literally went. The Kodesh Kedoshim is like it's not in space and not in time. It's like some sort of thing that's out of space and time. That's why the dimensions of the Kodesh Kedoshim shouldn't even fit the Aron. There was a man who went to the other side and he came back alive. And the sign of how much Hashem was giving us a kiss. And it's all about Mare Kayin, what he looks like. In English, Ka'il Animtach Vidarimala, like economy stretched out among the Malachim, like lightning bolts emanating from radiance of the Chayas. We don't even understand what's going on over here. And to see this with our own eyes, imagine having a Yiddishkeit that would be able to see this. And then what happens right afterwards? Once a person wants to see this, then they have a Tisha B'Av. And this is what happens on Yom Kippur. Like the Alter of Kelm says, he says, the difference between a Tzaddik and a Rasha is the ability to have an imagination to picture things. The Alter says the difference between a Tzaddik and a Rasha is someone who can use their imaginative faculty to see reality. If someone would see the Beis HaMikdash on Yom Kippur and see what it's like, the Kohen Gadol coming out, then have that torn away from them. Right afterwards, there's a Tisha B'Av. This is what it says. Right after Mara Kohen, everyone's singing, Kol Eila B'Yosa Heichal Al Yisaydaisav. This is what was going on when the Beis HaMikdash was intact. Mikdash Kodesh Al Machanasav, the Kohen Gadol Omer Misharis. Ashrei ayin ra'asa kol eila. Fortunate is the eye that sees this. Halo lemishma oizen dava nafshenu. When we hear about it, how distressed are we? How distressed are we? This is how to make a Tisha B'Av. People make the mistake, and I understand why they do this, to read depressing things to prepare for Tisha B'Av. Non-Tisha B'Av, you have to read depressing things. But to prepare, the way you do this is not that way. The way you do this is by attaching yourself to the excitement of the Beis HaMikdash. I heard once in a camp, what they do is they build models of the Beis HaMikdash. And it takes them a long time to build them. I think maybe I heard that they build one gigantic model. And then on Tisha B'Av, they torch it. On Tisha B'Av, they torch it. Now, it's an incredible thing. A person is invested in seeing the building of something, and then they see it fall apart in front of their eyes. That's how you connect to something. You don't connect to something through depression. You connect to it through how great it was when it was. The Vilna Gaon says that in the time of Nevuah, you didn't need Mashkichim. Mashkichim would be out of business. You know what they had? They had Nevi'im who would see the shorish of your neshama and tell you exactly what you're supposed to do. Right? Imagine finding that out. Wow. Life would be different. Clarity. Clarity. All of the frustrations that we have are because this place on the other side of Kvish Echad burnt down. Burnt down. And all the things in our lives that we want are because it's no longer here. And when a person builds that Mare Gadol in their head, and then they lose it, then it could be devastating. But if a person doesn't first work on appreciating what it is, people who love music, we gave so many shmuzin on music. Do we know anything about music? We gave 5 shmuzin on music. You know when you would find out what music is? If you would go to a Simchas Beis Shoeva in the time of the Beis HaMikdash. I mean, we see Rosh HaYeshiva, you know, with their canes like this, you know? Right? Walking very slowly. Have we ever seen Gedolei Hador doing acrobatics, backflips up and down, all sorts of wild gyrations under the influence of Ruach HaKodesh during a jam session. During a jam session, this was our Yiddishkeit. Why do we like music today? Because there was a Simchas Beis Shoeva. Listen to how the Rambam says what a Simchas Beis Shoeva looked like in Parakhes of Lulav. Vehei chaisa simchazu, hachalol makom menagnim bekinor benevalim, all these instruments, kol echad bekli shir shehu yodein lenagin bo. Anybody who felt talented in a certain, who was talented in an area of music, who knew how to play an instrument, he was up there. V'mishi yodei bepeh, whoever was a good vocalist, bepeh. V'roktin mesapkin betapkin mefazin, they did all sorts of interesting moves and gyrations. Kol echad kemoshi yodea, whatever, you know, whatever each person knew how to do. Va'omrim divrei shir v'tishbachas, and they would say shevach to Hashem during this. Then the Rambam says in Halacha Yudalid, v'lo hayu osen oso amei ha'aretz. You weren't allowed to play guitar here, to play guitar, if you weren't a baki b'shas. The only people who could jam at this simcha were people who were Yodei Kol HaTorah. V'kol mish yirtzel, G'doylei Chachmei Yisrael, V'roishei Yeshivas, V'asanhedrin V'chasidim, V'azikeinim, V'anshei Maisa, Heim shayu meraktin u'mesachim u'nagim u'nesachim b'mikdash b'mei Chag HaSukkos. Anytime a person wants to listen to music, they're having gaguim for this moment. They're having, you can't even compare. But imagine seeing Rebbe Akiva playing the guitar. I don't know if our ears could process such gorgeous music. Mistama would put us all into a state of prophecy. And if you played the guitar as an Amma Aretz there, no one would be interested. You need to play like a Baki Bishas, like someone who knows all of the Zayar HaKadosh. This is a different Yiddishkeit, and it's so rich. And we were stripped from this. We were stripped from this. And it's something that we could all connect to. And the more a person builds this garden patch, simply, people are going to come out of here and tell me this is not a practical shmooze. I promise you that this is practical, but a lot of people will not do it because they'll think it's impractical. It's very practical. Because all of us have neshamas that know where home is. It's the Kisei HaKavod that have a lev that shayach to the Kodesh HaKadoshim. We just don't access it. We don't have what the Altar of Kelm says, a vivid enough imagination to go somewhere greater. Somewhere greater that's not away from our lives, that's inside of us already. That's inside of us already. And when a person taps into this, when a person taps into this, it makes Hashem very happy. It makes Hashem very happy because the Ribbono Shalom Shechina is in Galus. And the more that people don't think about this, the more lonely the Shechina of Hashem is. The Shechina of Hashem is His presence in the world. And you can look outside and you'll see that the Shechina is very lonely. Whoever tries to do this brings the greatest nachas to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, because he shows that he has a relationship with Hashem. It's not by chance that the Mesil Sisharim, when he talks about the avoda of having a feeling for the Beis HaMikdash, he brings it in Chasidus, which is the area of cultivating a real relationship with Hashem. Hashem has a home. We're all like this little guy. Hashem gave us families. He gave us friends. He gave us health. And Hashem had a house that he lived in. Hashem lived in a house. And that house was burnt down because of our Averis. And Hashem had to go away. It's true that Hashem is here in hiding, but Hashem went away. And it's very, very sad. It's very, very sad. And we miss HaKadosh Baruch Hu. We miss him a lot. There are times in our lives where we would like to have conversations with him and we don't feel he's there. We're trying. They told us to daven. We're davening, we don't feel like we're getting responses. There are times where we would like direction, but Hashem left his house, and I'm by myself. And this could be something that maybe we're not prepared to think about all year round, but it's something that we can relate to. It's a garden patch that reminds us of where the sun is. We should all be zeicha to see the rebuilding of the Beis HaMikdash Bekarov. Whoever is Misabel on Yerushalayim is zeicha to see it bivinyana. We should all be zeicha Bekarov b'yameinu.